My, my, my. Ain't God good? Battling right now. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. When you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. Amen. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for what you've done already this morning. God, thank you for your sweet spirit that we can feel. God, thank you, God, for what you've already done on the altar. God, now comes the important part. God, I pray, God, you'd help us right now, God. I pray, God, you'd, Holy Ghost, you move in this building. You speak to hearts as only you can, God. God, you can do more than I can do, and I know that, God. And God, I pray, Lord, you just speak to those. If there's one that's lost, God, help them today to realize that today's the day of salvation. God, I pray for that Christian, God, that might not be where they need to be, God. God, you move in this building. You help us today, and we'll praise you, and we'll honor you, God, for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God does not want anyone to go to hell. God does not want anyone to go to hell. I want to preach a little while on seven roadblocks to hell. That's why there's warning after warning after warning. God calls everybody to repent. And you got to understand something. A lot of people, you know, we live in a society where nobody wants to be real anymore. You got men that think they're women and women that think they're men. I ain't going to preach on that. Let me go ahead and tell you something. Hell's a real place. Hell is a real place. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 9, verse 43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed and having two hands and go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Verse 45, and if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. Better for thee to enter into halt into life than having 2 feet and be cast into hell, into the fire that is never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes and be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Hell is a real place. And until we get that reality, until that gets in our mindset that, listen, there is a heaven to gain. And a lot of you preachers today, they want to preach on heaven. They want to preach on, nobody wants to preach on hell anymore. Jesus preached more about hell than he did about heaven. And there's roadblocks that God has set up so that you and I don't have to die and go to that awful, awful place called hell. Number one roadblock I want to preach about this morning is the roadblock of creation. The witness of creation is a roadblock to hell. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says this, for the invisible things of God are clearly seen from creation. Amen. In other words, when you get up in the morning, when I got up this morning and the sun come up, that is proof there's a God. Amen. When I got up this morning and I looked out west and the flowers were blooming, that is proof there's a God. When you get up in the morning and you breathe in air, that is proof there is a God. Amen. And you got to understand, so if there's a God of creation, then there's a God that everything in this Bible lines up exactly where it's supposed to be. We know there's a God. If you to deny creation is to deny common sense. In 1993, there was a poll put out. In 1993, 47% expressed an opinion, hold to a strict creationist view that God created man pretty much in his present state. Amen. Most other Americans believe that some combination of evolution and creationism. Only 9% of Americans believe in strict evolution. Did you hear what I said? Now, it might be a little more than that today, but only 9% in 1993 believed strictly in evolution. In other words, the most people in America do not believe in evolution. Amen. But then most of them don't believe in hell either. So creation is proof. Creation is a roadblock that you and I have. If you're here today and you're not saved, if you're here today and you can't take me back to a place, you might not remember the date and you might not remember the time, but you can't take me back to a place where you got on your knees and you asked God to forgive you of your sins and your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I'm telling you right now, you are in danger of hell. I don't care what mama said. I don't care what daddy said. I don't care what your grandmama and your granddaddy did. Hey, God ain't got no grand youngins, amen. My grandchildren can't go to heaven because I'm a preacher, amen. My grandkids can't go to heaven because their mama is a preacher's wife. You got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ all by yourself. So creation is the one of the roadblocks that we have. Every sunset testifies of God. Every raindrop testifies of God. Amen. To reject creation is to go around this roadblock that God has set up. Amen. On your way to hell. The voice of conscience is a roadblock that God has set up to help us. Romans chapter 2 verse 15, which show the work of the law within their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness in their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Everybody's got a conscience. Now listen, most people raised in America know right from wrong. Amen. And everybody raised in church knows right from wrong, amen. That inner voice that you have in your head, that is not random, that's God. I will never forget growing up, amen. Brother Tony, growing up, I knew there was something going on. I was raised in church. And you know, we've all seen that illustration of the little angel sitting up on your shoulders. The white angel and the red angel, amen. I'll never forget old preacher Earl Hannah was the one that I first heard the illustration about old Indian chief that got saved finally. And they asked him, said, how is it being saved? He said, as well, it's like a struggle within. He said, there's a white dog and a black dog that's always fighting. He said, well, which one wins? He said, whichever one I feed. That's your conscience, amen. We've all got a conscience. I was thinking about it as I was studying this and kind of preparing this. And I told Larry this morning, a couple of days ago, I had to go to Home Depot. And I picked up some screws, and I was walking through Home Depot, Tony, and I had stuff in my hand, you know. And Clint, this is what your pastor did. I took 3 bags of screws and stuck them in my pocket because I was going to drop them. I go up there to pay for them, and guess what? I get home, and them 3 bags of screws are still in my pocket. I said, I got to go back to Home Depot. So I went back to Home Depot yesterday. I believe it was yesterday morning. I walked in, and I put them screws out of my pocket and put them up on the thing there. The lady said, you ain't got nothing under your hat, do you? She's making a joke. I said, you laugh. I said, I was in here just a few days ago, and I had these screws in my pocket. I had to come back and pay for them. She said, well, at least you're honest. That's conscience. Amen. That's a conscience. Hey, that's that inner voice from God that lets you know right from wrong. Amen. And if you're saved, glory to God, you ought to have a conscience. But if you're not saved this morning, I'm telling you, that's a roadblock. And you know what I'm telling you is the truth. And you got that inner voice in you right now telling you, you need to get to that altar. You need to make sure that today's the day that you get saved. Your conscience is telling you there is a place called hell. Amen. That's a warning light from God. We have a fit when them lights come on our dash. That's a warning light from God. Don't be like some stupid people now. I have heard people take a black tape and just put over the dashboard over that warning light. That's what some people are trying to do about hell. And whether you cover it up or whether you don't cover it up, the light's still on, amen. That's a roadblock on the way to hell. The clear word of God, the Bible, is a roadblock on the way to hell. The Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 105, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light and the reproof of instruction are the way of life. This is the most massive roadblock that you will have. This is almost like those big billboard signs that you put up. Let me ask you a question. How many's got a Bible at home? Raise your hand. If you got a Bible at home, raise your hand. Everybody in the building, just about. When I was on the highway patrol, our job sometimes, especially when in a bad storm, was ride around and look for, make sure everything's all right. If you find something wrong, they come out and put a sign up. You know what happened to people that just rode around the signs? Destruction. This is a roadblock to try to keep you out of hell. And how many people just go by it? Just ride by it. Don't ever. The Bible tells us about God's love. The Bible tells us about creation. The Bible tells us about God's love and how God gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God tells us about Jesus' love. A greater love than this than no man, that a man laid down his life for his friends. The Bible tells us about the cross and what Jesus suffered on that cross so that you and I don't have to die and go to that awful place called hell. And when you go by this roadblock, it's like going down the road at 100 miles an hour, Brother Benny, and seeing a sign that says bridge out. And you say, I don't believe it. And you die. Roadblocks on the way to hell. The church is another roadblock to try to stop you from going to hell. We did not gather here this morning just to come in and look good. We did not gather here this morning just to come in and smell good. We did not gather here this morning just to come in and worship a holy God. Oh, that's part of it, amen. I love it, amen. I'd have loved it if God would have just showed up. We'd have been shouting all over the building. People and running down to the altar, amen. I would have, but that's not why we gathered. We gathered here this morning so that lost and dying souls would have a way and understand that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. That's why the church, that's why the lights are on this morning, glory to God. That's why the carpet's on the floor. That's why the buildings are here. It's all for you so that you don't have to die and go to hell. Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. The church is a lighthouse, glory to God, to a lost and dying world. I got to think about it, you know. I'll never forget several years ago, and I've said this before. Several years ago, I think it was Cape Hatteras. They were moving the lighthouse. They weren't going to tear it down. They were going to move it because we don't use lighthouses anymore. We got navigational systems now. We don't need lighthouses anymore. I still like the lighthouse myself. A friend of mine preached the gospel for years, Brother Robert. It was my pastor that married me and my wife. It was his brother. His name was Robert Baker. He preached the gospel, and his wife decided she didn't want to be a preacher's wife. So she left him. He fell out of church, fell back into sin. Now, this was out of his own mouth. He said, I could be riding down the road with a beer in my hand. He said, and I would come up on the church and have to put it in the cup holder. He said, I could not drive by a church with alcohol in my hand. Glory to God for the church. Amen. Amen. That's why the church is here. To help you not to go to hell. The church is another roadblock, amen. The Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost conviction is another roadblock. That voice that's inside of you right now, you understand something. That is not random, that's God. That tugging on your heart right now, that is not random, that is God. That's the Holy Spirit moving, amen, moving. And every song was sung, and every choir song that was sung, and when the preacher gets up and reads the scripture, and there's something on the inside of you, that's the Holy Spirit dealing with you, amen. I thank God that we can come to church and feel good. I thank God that we can come to church and every once in a while, God, just show up in that service. We can shout it out and have a great time. But I thank God for a church that you come in and there's conviction in the church. I thank God for that. You can come in and you feel that drawing. You feel that wooing of the Spirit of God. Amen. And the Spirit of God is very, very sensitive. You understand that. The Spirit of God. The Bible says don't grieve the Spirit of God. That means to stop it or halt it. When you ignore, now listen, there's somebody under conviction in this building right now. There's Christians right now God is dealing with. The Holy Spirit's dealing with you. There's lost people right now. The Holy Spirit's dealing with you. To ignore it and to shun it away makes you cold and indifferent. It'll make your heart hard. But to give in to it, come down to an altar, you can get saved, glory to God. Hey, your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He'll become your best friend, amen. He'll become that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Hey, when can't nobody else be with you, Jamie? The Holy Ghost is right there with you, amen. When can't nobody else go back there and not operate with you. The Holy Ghost to be in the operating room with you, amen. Hey, it's the best friend you'll ever have, amen. Do not ignore this roadblock. Do not turn it away today. I'm telling you, there's help on this altar this morning. The message of the cross is another roadblock. That cross, amen. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 said, for the preaching of the cross to them foolish that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. That's where God poured out his love on you, for you, on his son. That's where God poured out his wrath on his son so that you and I wouldn't have to die and go to an awful, awful place called hell. If you go back to the Old Testament, the Bible said it pleased God to bruise his son. To pour out that wrath on his son. You know, in our earthly minds, we try to rationalize it. We try to put it together so we can understand it a little bit better. And we say stuff like this. Well, from the beginning of time, before creation, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son, you know, got together and they made the plan way of salvation. They didn't have to think about it. I like what one preacher said. I believe it's Preacher Mike. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing's ever occurred to God? Amen. It was just a done deal. When Jesus Christ reached out and spoke everything into existence, And it was Jesus Christ. He spoke it all into it. When he spoke the stars, Wes, he already knew there was going to be a cross. When he breathed life into Adam, he already knew there was going to be a cross. He already knew what he was going to do for you. Now, I'm going to go through this real quick. I don't have time and I don't really go into it. You can watch the Passion of the Christ all you want to. That will not cover it all. Our Easter play, we do a great job in the crucifixion scene, but that does not even scratch the surface. When you go back and study it, when Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, he was nailed completely naked. He was beaten to a bloody pulp. Because he loved you. Amen. And gave himself so that you don't have to die and go to that awful place called hell. This is a roadblock. Don't ignore it, amen. The last roadblock that I won't preach about is God's delayed judgment. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Think about what I just said. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why hadn't Jesus returned yet? You. Why hadn't the rapture taken place yet? It's all for you. God is delaying his judgment. God is delaying his coming so that you and I and so that people can be saved. God is delaying. If you're here today and you're not saved, I'm telling you, you're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised next week. You're not promised to finish college. You're not promised to finish high school. There's a God in heaven, and soon he's going to call time. He's going to look to his son, say, go get your bride. Go get your children. And when the rapture takes place, I believe with all my heart, you're doomed after that. God's delayed judgment is another roadblock. God's given you time to be saved. Now let me ask you a question. How many today, don't raise your hand, know that you know that you know that if something were to happen to you right now, you could go to heaven? If there's any doubt, any question whatsoever in your mind, listen to this next verse I'm going to read you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, but now. I'd seen this illustration, and I got a chance to use it one time, Brother Tommy. I asked a fellow, I said, are you saved? He said, no, I don't go to church. I said, you realize God, he said, I'm going to get saved. I said, when? That's back when I used to carry a little calendar. I opened up a little calendar and started. I said, what day are you going to get saved? He said, well, I don't know. I said, the Bible says you're not promised tomorrow. I preached a message years ago in that first brick building right there. How close did you come to hell? How close did you come to hell? Think about that. Now, see, I look around and I see people, and I'm going to pick on Brother Tony. He said, Brother Tony, a good moral man, probably never done a whole lot of wrong. We all did. I'm just saying, good moral man. Everybody in here wasn't raised like that. We got some in here, son. I'm telling you right now, you wouldn't want nobody to know what you've been doing in your life. So how close did you come? that you know that you know. Listen, after sitting in under a message like this, you'll not be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know. After sitting under a message, I'm telling you, I prayed about this thing, and nobody likes preaching on hell. If somebody tells you that they like preaching on hell, they're crazy. Oh, we like preaching on John 3:16. We like preaching on heaven. But this is a reality this morning. This is real. This is life. We're dealing with eternity. If something were to happen to you right now, could you go to heaven? I want you to bow your heads.